So we're in Romans 16 today. So if you have a Bible, feel free to get it out, keep it open in front of you. We're in Romans 16 and we're verses 1 to 16 today. There's a lot of names in here, so excuse my pronunciation. Tom Laurie, maybe you can give me a mark out of 10 at the end as to how I get on with these. But let's read this passage, Romans 16, verses 1 to 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Kenchrae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Janiah, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Another sip of water. So lots of you will be familiar with the TV show Only Fools and Horses, where Del Boy and Rodney get up to all sorts, wheeling and dealing, trying to make their millions. And finally, in the episode Time on Our Hands, an old fob watch is discovered in the Trotters' garage, which they didn't think was worth anything, but it turns out to be the very sought-after Harrison Lesser watch, which is taken to auction, and to the brothers' disbelief, ends up selling for £6.2 million. This watch that they just cast aside, thinking it to be of no value at all, turned out to be worth more than they could have possibly imagined. And I think there is a danger with this passage that we do the same. We just brush over it. We just cast it aside, thinking that it's not really of any value to us. But actually, this passage is more valuable than we might realize. Because if you're anything like me, at first read, you might just be thinking, well, this is just a list of names. What on earth can we learn from this? But of course, we know and we're told that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed, and that means there are riches in this chapter and in this list of names. In fact, Peter Brunner, historian, theologian, claimed that Romans 16 is one of the most instructive chapters of the New Testament. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is all God-breathed. It is all inspired by you. And Father, thank you that you speak to us through it. Lord, thank you for the book of Romans. Thank you for all that we've learned from it. And Father, we thank you in particular today for this passage, Romans 16. Lord, would you open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us through it? Take our lives into your hands and speak into them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come towards the end of our series in Romans. Just a few weeks to go. Yeah, I think we've got this one and then two more after this. So yeah, we're just a few more weeks to go in Romans. And we've seen the message run throughout of how we can have justification. We can be justified through faith, and now how we have righteousness through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've heard how we've been given new life in the Spirit, and how an outworking of that righteousness and new life that we've been given should be unity in the body of Christ. We've seen that over the past few weeks. And our passage today shows us that once more, continuing on that theme of unity. We are united to Christ, therefore we are united to one another, his body, the church. And so we read here in chapter 16, Paul sending his gracious greetings to people and churches in Rome, people we don't really know too much about. We know that Paul will have met some of these people on his travels, but some of them he may have never met. And the way Paul greets them, it seems a little bit like we might say, oh, say hi to that person for me, or oh, send my love to that person. But when we do that, we might say, oh, Charlie says hi, by the way, just as a bit of a throwaway comment. But it seems a lot deeper than that, what Paul is saying here. These greetings are more than just a formality. This is a call from Paul to greet others, to greet fellow Christians warmly on his behalf, to really welcome them. As Christ has welcomed these people, so should the church reflect and share that welcome with this list of people that Paul gives them, his contact list, if you like. So let's quickly take a look at some of these people and some of the things that Paul writes as we consider what God is teaching us through this passage. So Paul starts by commending Phoebe, who was a key leader in the church, and Phoebe had the honour of carrying and perhaps reading this letter to the church in Rome. And Paul asked the Roman church both to welcome her, to show her hospitality, but also to give her any help she may need. Surrounding these requests, we see Paul's glowing rapport of Phoebe. He calls her his sister. He acknowledges her as a servant or a minister of the church in Kenchre, or in some versions it might say deacon or deaconess. And thirdly, Paul explains how she has been a great help to many people. She's given money to help many, including himself. He goes on to mention Priscilla and Aquila, who we hear about in chapter 18 of Acts when Paul met them in Corinth. He went on to work and travel with them. They're mentioned a few times in the New Testament and are always mentioned together, partners in marriage and partners in ministry. And so here in verse 3 and 4, he explains to his readers that they risked their lives for him. And then he expresses his gratitude along with churches, all the churches of the Gentiles. In verse 5, we hear of Epaenetus, a dear friend of Paul's, who he mentions was the first convert to Christ in Asia, or it may say in your Bible, he was a first fruit to Christ in Asia. Epaenetus would have been part of God's work in Asia, which eventually enabled Luke to write in Acts 19 that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. In verse 6, we hear of a Mary, quite a few Marys in the New Testament, so it's difficult to say which Mary he might have been talking about here. In verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, probably a married couple, fellow Jews. They've been in prison with him. They were converted before he was, and the greatest commendation of all, they were seen as outstanding by the apostles. In verse 10, Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test, or in the old NIV, it explains that he's been tested and approved in Christ, which I just think that's a lovely phrase, tested and approved in Christ. Wouldn't that be a great way for us to be described? This is a faithful man who has stood firm in the Lord. Then it seems as though we have a set of twins in verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa. It was common for twins to be given names from the same root, so they may well have been twins. And then we hear of Persis, a woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. And then in verse 13, he sends greetings to Rufus, who we do hear about, if it's the same one, very briefly, in chapter 15 of Mark's gospel. He was the son of Simon, who was forced to carry the cross for Jesus. So all in all, Paul sends his greetings to 26 people, 24 of whom he names. And with most of those he names, he adds a very personal, appreciative comment, referring to people as dear friends, relatives, brothers and sisters, fellow workers, hard workers, ministers. And we hear that these are people who have given money, taken risks, opened their homes, been imprisoned, remained faithful, and worked hard because they share Paul's passion to proclaim Christ. And I think the first thing to note is that as we look through this list of names, we see the diversity of the church. And we see diversity in race, rank, and gender. We see both Jews and Gentiles. Priscilla and Aquila were certainly Jewish Christians, as were Andronicus, Junia, and Herodian. And there are certainly names of Gentiles in there too, those not from a Jewish background. There are probably slaves in this list. Ampliatus, Urbanus, Hermes, Philologus, and Julia were common slave names. And then, of course, we see most clearly diversity in gender. Nine of those mentioned by name are women: Priscilla, Mary, Junia, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus's mother, Julia, and Nereus's sister. Paul is often branded by some as someone who believes males to be superior to females. But this passage seems to throw light on that claim. We see clearly the value that Paul puts on women, and in particular their involvement in ministry. In Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul writes this: "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And we see that clearly in Romans 16. It's all of these people mentioned in that verse in Galatians brought together. But in this long list, he doesn't differentiate. No one is seen as secondary. All these people, regardless of race, rank, and gender, are all one and are all Paul's brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow workers in the gospel. And it's the same for us in the church and at Kennet Valley today. We are all united in Christ, people from different backgrounds, different countries, languages, jobs, genders, ages, all one in Christ and all fellow workers for Christ. And of course, that's not to say that we should all be doing the same thing or that we all have the same roles. God has given us different giftings, but we are all ministers of the same gospel. We are all those who Jesus calls to be the light of the world, called to shine the light of Christ into the communities around us. So we can let this passage be a reminder to us to not let anything hold us back from showing Christ and from going with Christ, from serving him with our gifts. If you think that somehow you are less able to serve because of your gender, because of your race, your rank, background, or upbringing, let these people in this passage and Paul's commendation of them be an encouragement to you that if you are trusting in Christ, you are a part of his church, his family, who he calls to go out and be his witnesses. We must not for any reason count ourselves out of a role in mission, be it in our local communities, around the nation, or around the world. So as we continue to think through this passage and apply it, think about what we can learn from it for ourselves, there's two things in particular that I want us to focus on. Firstly, the importance of valuing our unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. And secondly, the importance of working together. So firstly, the importance of valuing our unity and expressing that we value each other in love. Paul clearly values these people he's sending his greetings to. He knows them well, some of them. And he is thankful for each of them, for who they are and for how God is working in their lives. And we hear four times Paul describes these people as being in Christ, five times as in the Lord. He refers to them as brothers and sisters, and on a few occasions refers to them as beloved. And so the time Paul takes to greet each of these people, to send his greetings, just highlights how highly Paul values his fellow Christians. And we are called to do the same. It's so easy for us to take for granted the people that God has put into our lives, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we are called to value each other and the unity we have and to express that in love. So what does that look like to practically value others, to express that? Well, clearly it means to greet others warmly, as we see throughout this passage. And that's not just on a Sunday when we see people at church, that's in our lives. And then we read in verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. So, does that mean that we should be giving out big sloppy kisses whenever we see each other? Probably not. I mean, for one thing, it's not the most hygienic at the moment, and quite difficult with a mask or a visor on as well. But this would have been a practice back in Paul's day, to greet one another with a holy kiss. And it's still practiced in some churches today. Graham tells me that if you head to church in Ukraine, for example, you might be greeted more warmly than you would expect. But as is often wise to do when we read scripture, We take the principle that Paul has in mind here, a kiss, a gesture of love to follow up our verbal greeting, to show love to one another. So for us, that might mean a handshake or a hug, or at the moment, maybe an elbow bump and smiling with your eyes. But when we do that, we show others that we value them as our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can show our appreciation of others' skills, giftings, attributes, just as we see Paul do here. He commends a number of traits in these people. We can express our value of one another in hospitality, welcoming others, perhaps into our homes. Paul references a few times those who welcome people into their homes. But we can show hospitality in other ways too. I've started reading a book recently called Extraordinary Hospitality for Ordinary People. I'm a married man now, so I need to get clued up with these things. But the author, Carolyn Lacey, continually reiterates that hospitality isn't about cooking the perfect meal or having a spotless house. It's about sharing the welcome that we have received from God with those around us. We've received the greatest possible welcome by God. He's welcomed us into relationship with himself, and he's welcomed us into his family. And that's not of our own doing. That is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So because we have been welcomed by God, we share that welcome with others. We had this back in Romans 15 a couple of weeks ago when Tom spoke to us about accept one another just as Christ accepted you. So that could mean having others in your home. It could mean inviting someone out for a coffee or for a walk. But when we welcome each other into our lives in this way, we show that we value them. Jesus values us, each of us the same. He values us so much that he laid down his life. So we should value one another, as Paul does, with all those mentioned in this passage. And we should express our value of one another in love. And of course, we can express how we value unity with one another by praying for our brothers and sisters, rejoicing when they rejoice, mourning when they mourn, but praying for each other through it all. And when we do that, when we value each other and we show our value of one another with love, kindness, and hospitality, others who see that, perhaps non-Christians, we are giving them an example of the love of Christ, pointing people to him. We read this in John 13. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then secondly, we have the importance of working together. The Christian life is all about mission because the Bible is all about mission. God's mission to bring salvation through Christ. We have that message running throughout Romans of calling the nations to faith by proclaiming the gospel. And now in chapter 16, we have Paul frequently referring to people as fellow workers or co-workers. So some of these listed, he's clearly teamed up with in ministry, and he clearly sees the need for working in a team. Don't know if you've ever seen ants make a bridge before. Don't know why you would. But if you haven't seen it, I would, you know, advise going and searching up on YouTube. It is fascinating to watch. They all bundle together, climbing on top of one another, and they link together so that they make a bridge so that other ants can get across from one side to the other. It's fascinating. But if they tried to get across on their own, they would have no chance. They see the need to work together for their common goal. And it's the same for us. Do we see the importance of working together with others for the gospel? The gospel and proclaiming the gospel, that is our common goal. Do we see the importance in joining with our brothers and sisters in Christ, be that in our church family, in our town, or around the world, in order to accomplish God's purposes for the communities he has put us in? We're all ministers of the gospel. The church isn't just an organization of bishops and pastors. It's a fellowship of men, women, and children in Christ who are working hard for him. We see that in the passage, as we've already mentioned, the diversity of the church, different people working together for Christ. We all have different giftings. Therefore, when we work together, this is a beautiful thing. This is what we read in 1 Corinthians 12. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So we all need each other. We all need each other, and we need to work together with one another. And the wonderful thing is that as we work together with one another, we grow in unity. And as we grow in unity, we become better equipped to work together with one another. And so then we grow in unity, and it can go in a circle of growing as we work together. So what might that look like for us? Well, it could mean a number of things. It could mean continuing to serve in a particular team here at Kennet Valley, or perhaps getting involved with a team that you've not been involved with before. There's lots of opportunities to get involved with youth and children's work, but also with coffee mornings, prime time, and lots of other regular or one-off events. It could also mean teaming up with others in our town, perhaps joining a team who seeks to bless the homeless or the underprivileged, such as Faith or New Beginnings. It could mean joining a team like Street Pastors, who seek to care and share the love of Christ with people in the town centre. It could mean going abroad with a team for a short or a long-term mission trip. But it could just mean teaming up with a Christian friend to pray together, working together in prayer, which is essential. And of course, working together with others isn't easy. Paul frequently talks about hard work, but there's no mention of it being an easy thing. But it is essential. We see it throughout Scripture. Paul worked together with others, Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, many others. Jesus sent his disciples out in twos and in groups. We see throughout the Bible and throughout this chapter the importance of working together in mission, working together for the gospel. And as we read through Romans 16, we can feel the joy that it brings to Paul as he speaks about these people, as he sends his greetings to his co-workers. And Paul also wrote this in Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from this day, from the first day until now. Working together can grow unity. It can bring joy, and of course, God can take us and he can take those that we're working together with to spread his love and to share his message of salvation. And so we see here in this passage the importance of really valuing the unity that we have in God's diverse church and expressing that in love. And we see the importance of working together in partnership for the gospel. How blessed we are to be part of God's family. The church is one of God's greatest inventions, that when we were redeemed by Jesus, we weren't saved to live life on our own. We were saved to live life in community with one another, walking together, encouraging each other as we seek to fix our eyes on Jesus, grow closer to him, and to become more like him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage that we have in Romans 16. Thank you for the greetings that Paul sends to all of these people. And Lord, would you let that be an example to us? An example to us of how we shouldn't take for granted what an amazing privilege it is to be part of the body of Christ. Lord, would you help us day by day to value one another? Help us to greet each other warmly, not just on a Sunday when we see each other, but Lord, throughout our weeks, throughout our lives, help us to continue to welcome one another into our lives, to value that unity that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, help us to see the need for working together with one another for the sake of the gospel. Thank you that we are all different. Thank you that you've given us different giftings, different abilities, And Lord, thank you that when we come together and we use those, that can be a wonderful thing. And thank you that you can take us in our weakness as the church and use our lives for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.